Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
Dort Podcast. Rich Keith is the Dort Podcast.
Ryan Davis
is the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag
Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Ram Von Dam. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I prefer to be called, as my namesake says at the bottom, Senor Spielbergo.
Senor Spielbergo.
Who directed the film A Star is Burns for the Springfield Film Festival.
Burns.
I was saying Boo Earns.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Very good. Actually, you know, something was coming up the other day. I was thinking about The Simpsons. Oh, somebody was talking about, what the fuck was it? They were saying how, like, they saw Spaceballs before they saw Star Wars back in the day.
That's something. Half the movie doesn't make any sense.
No. However, I was thinking about The Simpsons and how, like, I think one of the reasons I wasn't even a young kid because I was scared to death of everything, but I was probably like maybe in middle school when I finally watched The Shining. And because I had seen The Simpsons, The Shining, I was able to like get through. I was still scared, but I was like, okay, I remember.
Like, oh, that's like that.
I remember them doing it. Like that kind of helped me along because otherwise I would have been fucking even more.
I have a great Quinn Davey moment from this weekend. So she's in that phase of her life where her lowest grade right now is in English because she hates the teacher.
Yeah.
Like she's doing it versus her teacher.
I respect it.
And I showed her the clip of Ralph Wiggum saying, "Me fail English, that's impossible." And you would have thought that was the funniest thing she's ever fucking seen. And now she won't stop saying it.
It's really good. I'm telling you, the early Simpsons is like the
Me
best
English. That's impossible.
It doesn't get a whole lot better than
Ralph
first, like 10 seasons of The Simpsons for sure.
So good.
All right. Well, because of our last episode where we discussed Disclosure Day, the latest from Steven Spielberg, we decided to do a top 10 Steven Spielberg movies. But if you have not seen Disclosure Day and you didn't listen to our episode on Disclosure Day, it's there for you at your leisure. Quick bullet point on it. Didn't make either of our top 10s, was really not considered for our top 10s, which on the one hand, Steven Spielberg has a lot of really, really good movies, but also this one wasn't all that close to cracking that list anyway. But Steven Spielberg, some would say, is the greatest living director. Would you agree with that statement?
Nope, not anymore.
He is 79 years young. He's been making movies a very long time.
Yes.
And a lot of are some of my favorites ever.
I would say prolific. I would say he is synonymous with directing, but that does not make him good. For instance, I give you this.
Wow.
For one of our Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, as Ultimate Warrior would say. Hulk Hogan. As the Ultimate Warrior would say, is the most prolific wrestler of all time. Would you say?
He's the most prolific wrestler of all time?
Meaning, if you associate wrestling with him.
Right? Yes. Yes.
Is he the best wrestler you've ever seen?
No.
God, no. Like,
no,
he
he's
stinks.
He's like, a far cry from that, yeah.
Right.
Well, so, unless you look at what is a wrestler
or a career, wrestler, right?
Sells tickets. A wrestler can get you hyped up for a match. A wrestler can look the part, talk the part. And if you're just saying like in-ring ability, I would say he's not in the top 100. But yeah, if you say like persona, which is probably more than 50% of the game. Yeah.
And again, I associate wrestling with certain people, right? Yeah. And I think he's one of them. Does that make him the best wrestler? No. For instance, Steven Spielberg's made 35 movies over. It's like the first one was like 1976 or something. Mm-hmm. Right? It was like back in the day.
Yeah. It's crazy. He made a movie. His first feature film was called Firelight in 1964. Like, what was he? Kane Parsons? Yeah. He was 18, I think, when he made that movie.
So, like Denis Villeneuve, Christopher Nolan, Quentin Tarantino, all of our favorite directors don't have like the career that he has, but
he makes a lot of movies. Yeah. He also, though, Ryan, has 7 movies that were inducted into the National Film Registry.
Right.
He directs more movies than a lot of the guys, like you said, like Tarantino and some of the ones that maybe I prefer. Like I think Tarantino has a higher hit rate, but he also doesn't have as many movies. Christopher Nolan, Villeneuve, Fincher, like these are my like personal or our even. I'll speak for you.
Ridley
like
Scott.
Like some of our favorite guys. Actually, Ridley Scott's got a bunch. He has a bunch. I like Tony Scott too, but he works a lot. Like he only does like a couple. He'll have a year or two off in between movies. It's pretty amazing that he's been making movies for spanning all these different decades. Now, to be fair, I haven't seen The Fablemans. People did like The Fablemans, which was his last movie, which came out in 2022. So if that one's good, then like maybe that helps things out, because you and I didn't really like Ready Player One. You had The Post and like the BFG. Like that's not for me. I thought Lincoln was just super boring.
War Horse was like it just
The last Indiana Jones movie that he did, because he didn't do Dial of Destiny, but he did do Crystal last Skull.
Did he do Crystal Skull?
Yeah. Ugh. Fucked. Yeah, it sucked a dump. It was a big dump suck. So I didn't like that. But I don't know. I think a lot of people do regard him as one of the best directors of all time. And it's like, if you just want to highlight his, forget his batting average, and just highlight his like home runs. Best.
Yeah.
Yeah, best on best. If you're like, you give me your 5 best films versus your best 5 films, he might be able to take down
one of them. Might be Spielberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might be able to do it that way.
Yep.
He also did a podcast recently with Bill Simmons and Sean Fennessy. So Simmons has his Rewatchables podcast. Mm-hmm. So they did 2001 A Space Odyssey, which was a Kubrick movie, which Spielberg was like friends with. So he had like a lot of good anecdotes in it. Honestly, it was like one of the best podcasts I've ever heard in my entire life. It was like a really good podcast. 3 just like movie nerds talk. So like even the stuff I found more interesting was like the non 2001 Space Odyssey stuff. Like he'd like go on these little detours. Like he goes over to like Guillermo del Toro's house and they like do like sculptures and stuff. And he's like this. He has like these stories about playing chess with like Stanley Kubrick and like just shit like that is like
amazing. I love that shit.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, we did separate lists for this. So we each came up with our own top 10. What's the best way to do this? Do we do 10, 10, 9, 9, 8, 8?
Yeah, and then if, like, if I have one at 10 and you have it at 6, we just do them both at the same time.
Yep. Okay.
And then we could do our list at the end.
All right, very good. So do you want to go first? We'll count it down. So we'll go 10 to 1, and then at the end we can do some of the ones we missed. But yeah, why don't you start with what's 10. Your number 10? Yeah.
And again, I think if you look at any internet list, like this is kind of further down, but like I really like this. I like the idea of this movie more than I like the actual movie, and that's Minority Report.
My number 7.
Yeah.
I liked Minority Report a lot, and it's funny because we talk so much horror and we talk so much like comedy, and but like some of these sci-fi movies sometimes get lost, and I feel like we haven't done like a ton of them on the show, but Minority Report is crazy, and like that idea is so good. And then now, like with all this like AI stuff that's coming out now, I feel like
it makes more sense now.
It's referenced a lot too. You're like, oh shit, like Minority Report, or like just like the idea of getting in trouble for something that you haven't done yet. But they're like, but you're gonna do it, and you're like, what the fuck?
But it's like, and it's like that. Okay, I always found it fascinating because it's a Philip K. Dick story, like a novella he wrote in like the 50s. So it's the guy who wrote Blade Runner, basically. It's like, it's one of his stories. And the idea, like you said, is like, they call them precogs. Like, they have these people who can like tell you a crime is about to be committed.
Yeah.
And you can go arrest them before it happens. And so it's that same argument as like, well, why doesn't Batman just kill the Joker? You know, he's going to keep, and that is, we don't know that he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, even off, you can't do that. Right. You have to like kind of catch him in the act. And so, yeah. And so Tom Cruise plays the lead role of this guy who's, and Colin Farrell, who is awesome in this movie kind of too. He told a great story. He would just like show up drunk all the time, and like Tom Cruise almost fired him like several times before he got sober. Like, he was just like showing up drunk to like Minority Report and killing it,
but just
being like 3 hours late and whatever.
Yeah. Tom Cruise running, though, really good Tom Cruise stuff.
A lot of running. he's on his clock here.
Yeah. No, I like that one a lot. I had that number seven. All right, what do you got? Number nine.
I got number nine. I got Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Now you have Harrison Ford and Sean Connery, who plays his father, and you get kind of like an Indiana Jones like backstory, like who he was as a kid. And I believe this is the one where River Phoenix plays young Indiana Jones in the beginning, right?
I believe so. Okay.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, so you have River Phoenix, which would have been a young Indiana Jones spinoff with like River Phoenix would have been awesome.
Awesome. You're right. Would have been ridiculous. Yeah, you're right.
But this is a great, so they're actually trying to find the Holy Grail. And like, it's, again, Nazis. Like I just said in the last podcast that like Steven Spielberg can't write villains unless they're Nazis or animals.
Yeah.
All the Indiana Jones movies, Nazis. But, again, a kind of like a father-son like travel movie, which is really cool. And the third the second best, I would say, Indiana Jones movie.
Okay, funny. I think it's the third and the third, but we can get into that as it goes. Yeah. But it did make my list. So this was also number 10 on my list. It was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which came out in 1989. I haven't had a chance to revisit the original trilogy. I obviously watched Crystal Skull, and then a couple years ago when Dial of the Destiny came out, I remember watching that and being like, it wasn't great, but at least it was better than Crystal Skull. But it's been a while since I've watched the original trio.
I was a staple kid.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this to anyone who's listening to what, if you haven't watched those movies in a long time, you will find that Temple of Doom is a worse movie than you think it is.
I bet it is. It just stands out to me
because of the Kali Ma and like the,
the snake stuff, the heart rip,
monkey brains.
The whole thing was just like terrifying to me. And as a kid, I remember like, I didn't watch a lot of horror movies, but that stuck with me, and that scared the hell out of me. Plus, you had Short Round was in it, and
Data.
It was really memorable. It was like even more memorable than Last Crusade for me. So just to sort of tie this up, I have Last Crusade at 10. I had Minority Report, which you had at 10. I had that at 7. Because we're talking about it, I have Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom at 8.
Okay.
It came out the year I was born, 1984.
Not on my list.
Okay, which I'm not shocked by. A movie that I bet is on your list, and I bet it's a little bit higher, is my number 9. And I'm going to go here with Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's my 8.
Okay.
So
in the same boat there. And this is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why I was excited for Disclosure Day. Because we're like, it's Spielberg, it's aliens, it could be something as good as 1977's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, written and directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Richard Dreyfuss and Terry Garr. And this is one that you prop up. Like, I think it didn't make my top 6 list of alien movies, but like it was in the conversation.
Definitely in the top 10. We typically blend like alien and horror. Like on our top 3 is like Alien, Aliens, Predator, The Thing, right? So like it's like alien horror. But like if you're talking about straight sci-fi alien movies, like this is one of the best. And again, it ages really well for the time, and it's still a good movie. So I have that as my number 8
on
the list.
So have you done your number 7 yet?
My 7 is Catch Me If You Can.
Great one.
It's one of those movies, like, every time it's on, I watch it.
Yeah.
And I find the back and forth between... So, like, one generation's best actor, and, like, you could argue in Tom Hanks, mm-hmm. and, like, the next generation's best actor in Leonardo DiCaprio, like, going, like, back and forth is so great. And then you add, like, Christopher Walken's part in, "Where you going tonight, Frank?" Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, that whole thing. And it's, like, I love that it's kind of a true story, and that guy is actually a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just the, I don't know, I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
no, the con man story too. So
this is also one of the times. There's a couple of times where Steven Spielberg has two movies in a year. There's one like super famous time, which we're gonna get to, but this year, 2002, he had Minority Report and Catch Me If You Can. He had both of those movies, which I think was a pretty amazing follow-up, because in 01 he did AI, which I did not think was very good. I honestly think, though, 25 years later, it might be interesting to rewatch it and see what going on then, and compared to how it shook out now.
I actually, thinking about it, I would have had Catch Me If You Can higher had Tom Hanks not had such an atrocious Boston accent.
Yeah, it was not good.
That's one of the worst I've ever heard.
It's not good. Yeah, was this Spielberg? Because I feel like...
Yeah.
No. I was going to say, I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio works with Scorsese pretty much only now. Did he do any other Spielberg movies? Or was it just this one?
Maybe. Let me see.
I'm not sure. Oh, the other thing about AI, which is not on your list, right?
No.
Okay, it's not on my list either. This was originally going to be a Stanley Kubrick movie. They sort of started talking about this on that podcast that I mentioned before. But this was originally going to be... he like acquired the rights to it, and Kubrick was going to do it. And then... all kind of like fell through and whatever else happened, and ended up being a Spielberg movie. And that's the, you know, Jude Law, Haley Joel Osment. I just remember not liking it, but now that everything is AI, maybe it's better. Maybe it holds up. I'm not sure. But that one I felt was kind of a stinker. And then so for him to follow that up with Minority Report and Catch Me If You Can, which are two like super fun, they're different yet super fun movies. He's working with Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks in the same year. Really good stuff.
I'm trying to find if so he didn't direct any other
yeah, I think it was the only time they worked together,
but like there could have been something where he like produced it and he was
yeah, yeah. You know, I mean? No, but I knew like directed.
No, not directed.
I think that's it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, all right, pretty good. All right, let's see. I've already done my 10, 9, 8, 7. Number 6 on my list is Schindler's List, which
that is my 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's an all-time movie. Yeah. It's super heavy. It's like the heaviest topic possible. Yeah.
Hard watch.
Yep.
For sure. That's one of those ones you have to see it once.
Uh-huh.
You have to see it once, and you never have to watch it again.
And so this is what I was talking about. 1993. Mm-hmm. He directed Schindler's List and Jurassic Park in the same year. That's fucking absurd.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. All right, that's kind of how it's done.
At 6, I had E.T.
Not on my list.
See, E.T.
It's a classic. It's an absolute classic, though.
I remember, famously, the first movie I ever saw in the theater was Return of the Jedi, but I don't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is one of the first movies I remember watching and being like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I was, when did it come out? 84?
82, I think.
82? I must have seen it in, like, 84, 85.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd just be like just watching it. Like, I thought E.T. was real. I thought it was like a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty convincing.
Why wouldn't you? Right?
Pretty convincing. Yeah,
yeah. And I would say Henry Thomas in that movie, probably some of the best child acting I've ever seen to this day. Have you ever seen his audition tape for that? It's like famous.
I think YouTube. I have. Yeah, yeah.
Where he starts crying. It's actually phenomenal. If you watch him, like, yeah, like he starts crying because they like took his friend away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. Drew Barrymore, obviously.
Yes.
Pretty incredible in that. If you count best picture, because he like produced like all these movies, best screenplay and best director. Do you know how many Oscar nominations Steven Spielberg has had?
Oh my God. It's got to be 14.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
I was close.
He's won three.
Nice.
He's only won three. He won Best Director and Best Picture for Schindler's List, and he won Best Director for Saving Private Ryan.
Which, good segue, number five on my
list.
Number
five, which was also number four for me. But yeah, Saving Private Ryan was number four for me. Him and Tom Hanks. That's sort of his guy. He's worked with Tom Hanks a bunch. And yeah, it's another one that like I'm rarely in the mood for war movies, but there's like a handful that are just like so good. And are like, I haven't rewatched this one a ton. Cause again, I just, it's not for me personally, like a rewatchable
type
of genre, but.
And I saw this movie in the theater
and
the first 10 minutes of this movie in the theater was just mind blowing.
Yeah.
You hear about D-Day and you hear about what an incredible thing that was. And then to see it, like the way it was shot.
Yeah.
And like, I assume that it was probably worse than that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. But for him to be able to like bring that to screen the way that it was done is so insane. Like it felt so real watching that thing. And that's even like one of the big like they're promoting Dune 3, which is coming out at the end of the year. And didn't they say like the beginning of Dune 3 is kind of like the beginning of Saving Private Ryan? Like that's
so I don't know if I have it in me to watch it at this point.
I was gonna say, like, good lord.
Yeah.
Good grief. But yeah, so I have Saving Private Ryan number four. I already had Catch Me If You Can, which you mentioned. I had that at number five. Mm-hmm. Have you done 10 through 4 on your list?
So 10 through 4 on my list is Minority Report, Last Crusade, Close Encounters, Catch Me If You Can, E.T., Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Saving Private Ryan was four.
Saving Private Ryan was five.
All right. So what's four?
Jurassic Park.
Oh, all the way down at four.
Well, the movies I have in front of it, you're like, okay.
Are pretty
like,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're pretty great. I have Jurassic Park number one. Jurassic Park is one of my favorite movies of all time. It is definitely the movie I've seen the most of Steven Spielberg's. Doesn't always mean it's the best, but I just love it. It is the original of the sweet dino action. Everything kind of points back to that. It's almost like a perfect movie. Like, yeah, the kids are a little annoying, but like, whatever. Like, the adult characters are good. The dinosaurs look so real. And unlike some of these other mega, mega hit movies from Spielberg that I wasn't alive for, or I didn't go to the theater for because I was too little. Like, I saw this in the theater when I was 9 years old and it blew me away. It's like my favorite movie going experience. I was like, it's the loudest theater I was ever in. It was the biggest screen I'd ever been in. And I was like, this is insane.
Coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. The dinosaurs look so real. And I was obsessed with dinosaurs as everybody else was. And I still am obsessed with dinosaurs. Like, I just, it was great.
I think I actually saw this at the Weir's Beach drive-in the first time I saw it. Okay. So that's four. Three for me is Schindler's List. We already talked about, and again, we talked about Schindler's List and just kind of like, that's a heavy watch. Number two for me is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay. That's my number three. Yeah.
Which is, man, like, go back and watch that again. Like, that's, Karen Allen's amazing in this movie. Like, the scariest, like, I remember seeing this as a little kid with, like, they open the Ark of the Covenant and everyone's faces melt. And, like, that being, I legitimately covered my eyes because that's the scariest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I thought that guy, I forget the character's name, like, he's the head Nazi guy, when he, like, burns his hand on, like, the medallion, like, the Staff of Ra, like, medallion.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
And everything. Yeah. That guy was terrifying to me. He kind of looked like Judge Doom from Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Like, I made that association pretty quickly.
Yep.
I love Raiders. I think that's one of I would say like top 20 movies for me.
Oh, Raiders is insane. And then you figure it was a story created by George Lucas, right? And the fact that you have Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones and Han Solo three different times in the he's in six movies in the span of whatever it is, like 10 years. And it's like
just those two,
the two coolest characters like ever. Yeah, let alone all the other stuff he was doing. But like, all he needed to do, if he was only in Star Wars and the Indiana Jones movies, he'd be like, yeah, he's one of the best ever. And
famously, not the first choice to play Indiana Jones.
Who do they want for Indiana Jones?
Tom Selleck.
Ah, he would have been good too.
He would have been really good.
Yeah,
that would have changed his career. Magnum PI is cool, but like
Indiana Jones with a mustache.
Loves Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
But Mr. Destiny, what was the movie he was in? Mr. Baseball or whatever?
Yeah. No, no. Yeah, Mr. Yeah, I think it was
because Bernie Mac was Mr. 3000.
Other notable actors considered for Indiana Jones: Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
Chevy Chase.
Nope.
Jack Nicholson.
No.
Sam Elliott.
Interesting. Like, that's a movie I would.
I gotta find the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh God!
You have to use so many cuss words.
Uh-huh.
The double douche.
Yeah, Tom Selleck couldn't do it because he had to stay in Magnum PI. He's like, listen, I got too much Magnum PI stuff going on.
I'm gonna say so weird. We're to recap. So that's for 10 to 2 to me is Minority Report, Last Crusade, Close Encounters, Catch Me If You Can, E.T., Saving Private Ryan, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now I know my number one is your number two.
Correct.
Yeah. It has to be
Jaws. Right?
And that's
Jaws. Yeah. Jaws incredible. Incredible and a really good Nintendo video game, as it turns out.
Once you figured it out, like that was one of those games, like you had to like get a Nintendo Power to like figure out how to do it.
Yeah,
or it was know not, somebody that knew what to do.
Right. It was not easy because it took you a while to get to the end.
And then
like, now what do I do? And you're like, oh, you gotta stab him with the thing. And then if you don't, you gotta go back in and get shells again.
You know how many goddamn conch shells I have right now? Like, I don't know what to do with all these things.
Yeah, you gotta get one. It's like, oh, you have a shark radar. Like, great. Now what? Like,
what do I do with that?
Yeah, you gotta go port to port.
And I watched a speedrunner that I used to watch when I used to watch a lot of Twitch, and he would finish the game in like 5 minutes.
Oh, that's quick.
That's like, he'd get down with like the harpoon.
Yeah, but
you have to like fight Jaws like underneath.
Yeah.
And he's just like peppering him. I don't know how he did it that fast.
He probably
hit the radar that fast.
Turbo button, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe had a turbo extra harpoon.
Jaws
is a perfect movie. I think
if it's not as close to it.
Jaws and Jurassic Park to me, and like Raiders. I mean, obviously, Saving Private Ryan, Schindler's List, like that. That's like five movies that are like different genres and like at the top, like at the peak. He did Jaws when he was in his 20s.
And to this day, like that movie affected me so much that I still think about, like, anytime I'm near an ocean, I think about it.
Yeah. Oh, he ruined it for people that saw it in the theaters back then. Like, there's like a real fear of like going in the water back then.
And there's also like those movie events they have where you can watch Jaws like in a pool.
Yeah.
Like you can just get in a float and like what they'll project it and like you're sitting in. I won't do that ever.
And that was fucking crazy. Bride Dog in the chat. Yeah, I do have Letterboxd. I'm at Dork Podcast on Letterboxd. So all those rankings are me unless it says otherwise on there.
I should really start doing that. I think they would like got me on this like 84-0 or whatever, 86-0 or whatever.
Oh, 82-0.
82-0.
Oh, like,
I got close with hockey.
Letterboxd is good because you can just keep track. So for us, I just keep track of the movies that I've seen. So at the end of the year, and then I just rank them as I go. So then it's the easiest thing in the world. And then you're like, oh, I've seen X number of movies, and this is how I rank them. I'll put my Spielberg list out there later.
Yeah, and like me, like I feel for me, the visual representation would be helpful for me.
I like how it looks. Yeah, it looks sweet.
Well, I can see it. Like I can see the whole thing in front of me. So like I can say like this movie's better than this movie.
Yeah. I like it. But yeah, Jaws all time. And it's funny because like, it's not like the prototypical horror movie, but many people would in fact say it's the scariest movie of all time.
Because it's real, right?
Yeah, it's fucking real. It's really real. It's really real. Oh, thanks, Brydog. Brydog followed on there. Appreciate that.
Brydog.
Hey, parents. We all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Some of the best lessons don't come from a classroom. They come from experience. On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from CEOs, investors, and founders about how they built careers, took risks, and reinvented themselves. If you're starting your own journey, this is the kind of advice you won't want to miss. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
All right, so real quick, I'll read you my list again. From 10 to 1, I have Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Number 9, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Number 8, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, sort of a nostalgic pick. Number 7, Minority Report. Number 6, Schindler's List. Number 5, Catch Me If You Can. Number 4, Saving Private Ryan. Number 3, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Number 2, Jaws. And number 1, Jurassic Park. I mean, really, the two best creature features of all time. Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs and sharks.
Dinosaurs and sharks.
Fucking awesome.
Can't write human bad guys, but no. He can write.
He can.
Yeah.
So basically, all right, give me your list real quick.
So my list is Minority Report, Last Crusade, Close Encounters, Catch Me If You Can, E.T., Saving Private Ryan, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, Raiders, Jaws.
So I think the only switch...
I had E.T. and you didn't.
And I had Temple of Doom. Mm-hmm. He also directed, let's see, The Lost World, the Jurassic Park sequel.
He directed one of the vignettes for the Twilight Zone movie, which was the worst one in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the old people in the can.
So he did a movie called Duel, which I've not seen, in 1971.
Which I believe was also a Stephen King book.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. That I got to find. I haven't watched. He did his theatrical film directing debut was in 1974. It was called The Sugarland Express. Goldie Hawn was in it.
Oh,
nice. Then he did Jaws in 75. Then he did Close Encounters. Then he did 1941. Then Raiders. Then E.T. Then the aforementioned segment in The Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. Then Temple of Doom. He did The Color Purple in 1985. Empire of the Sun in 1987.
Empire of the Sun. I remember my dad sat me down to watch that, and it was like 4 hours long.
Oh,
it's
John
Malkovich. So long. And Christian Bale's first movie.
Oh, wow. Good one.
He's the kid in that movie, yeah.
No shit. And then, let's see, this is just directed movies. After Empire of the Sun was Last Crusade, then a movie called Always.
Yeah, it was Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Then Hook. Oh, we didn't even mention Hook.
You know what, though? Like,
yeah.
Have you looked at the Rotten Tomato scores of Hook?
No.
Critics hated that movie.
Oh, really?
It's like at a 27.
Like, I remember being kind of scared of it as a kid. I didn't like it. And then Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, then The Lost World, then Amistad, then Saving Private Ryan, AI, Minority Report, Catch Me If You Can, The Terminal, War of the Worlds.
Stunk.
War of the Worlds stunk. And this was also, there's a story there, promoting War of the Worlds was when Tom Cruise did his Oprah stand on the couch thing. Fact. And people lost their mind. And so some of the, as the story goes, Spielberg was not exactly thrilled with that.
They didn't want to work with him anymore.
Yeah, I don't think those guys have the best relationship anymore, because that was like, dude, what are you doing? So like, as he's trying to promote this movie, everybody is like, that's when really people started digging in on Scientology and being like, what is this guy doing? Like, what is happening?
Then he did the thing. It was right before that or after that, he did the Matt Lauer thing too, where he was talking about like psychotropic drugs and he was just like laying into Matt Lauer.
Yes.
That was, I feel like it wasn't, but I felt like in my mind that was the same week, but it wasn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but no, I remember that. That was a big.
You're being very glib. And he's got a crazy look in his eye. Like,
but then Lauer was kind of being a dickhead too.
Well, we come to find out that Matt Lauer was a huge piece of shit.
As it were, yeah.
Yeah.
Then it was Munich after War of the Worlds and Munich.
Munich's a good movie too. Band is great in Munich. Yeah.
Then Crystal Skull, then The Adventures of Tintin, Warhorse, Lincoln, Bridge of Spies, BFG, The Post, Ready Player One, West Side Story, The Fablemans, and Disclosure Day. So, all right. Mm-hmm. I think one of the only ones I really got, I haven't seen Fablemans. Michelle Williams is in it, Paul Dano.
And it's Seth Rogen. Semi-autobiographical?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it did well box office wise, but I do think like people really liked it. So,
and I feel like
I'll have to give it a rip.
It came out and then it was like, but he wasn't like the it wasn't like directed by Steven Spielberg. Like, I don't think they ever mentioned that in any of the promo stuff. Mm.
Now, then there's also other movies that he had a big hand in. Like, he was executive producer and had the story for The Goonies, which probably would have made my list.
Would have made your list. If he directed it, sure.
You mentioned Poltergeist. He also has this like production company that now has like a million movies. He was an executive producer on Gremlins, which would have made my list. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which would have been like number one on my list. So like, you see his name pop up in a ton of stuff. Even now, I think he's one of the guys on Widow's Bay, isn't he? Yes. Oh, no. I'm thinking of Cape Fear, not Widow's Bay.
No, yeah.
Cape Fear, the TV show on Apple, he's one of the producers on that too. So it's like, you see his name everywhere. He's got his hand in a lot of different stuff. So, but there you go. There's our list.
I didn't overthink it this time. I just ripped it.
Oh yeah. Josh, the chat. So he's all over the Martin Short documentary too. Spielberg is, they're like really good friends.
Yeah.
And there's they play the clip of Jiminy Glick asking Spielberg, like, when are you going to make the big one?
That's actually a pretty good impression too.
Yeah, thank you.
When are you gonna make the big one?
I just recently watched an interview with Jiminy Glick and Bill Hader, and like, Bill Hader can't keep it together.
He's just dying laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
No, the Martin Short documentary is really good.
I'm going to watch that. That's on my list of things to watch. Yeah.
Dude, there's a scene, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, but I'm going to tell you.
Life is Short, is that what it's called, or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. It's on Netflix, I think.
Not Life's Too Short with Warwick Davis and Ricky Gervais, which is another absolutely fucking hilarious show.
Not that.
Yeah.
So there's a scene. So they have, literally, it's Steven Spielberg filming, and it's Martin Short playing his character of what the fuck's the guy's
name? Ed Grimley?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's playing Ed Grimley, and Tom Hanks is playing Forrest Gump, and they're doing a scene from Thelma and Louise.
Oh my.
As their characters, with Steven Spielberg shooting the thing, and they're on a boat, and at the, instead of jumping and like going off the cliff, they like jump into the water. And I'm like, had that been like present day and they did that on like YouTube or TikTok or something, it would be like a billion, like 10 billion views, because it's like, it was unbelievable that all that happened. But anyway, that was good. Oh, speaking of documentaries, did you see the one, The Crash, on Netflix?
I followed that news story, and I know all I need to know. Got about it. That. Jesus
Christ. I did not know anything about it. And so I watched it, and I'm still just like, fuck. Like, I don't know. I could go either way, really, on that one.
And I just, this generation
fucking
coming up is just so fucked. Like, you guys are out of your minds.
Then there's another documentary that I've not seen that seems like it's going to be seems like it's going to be a lot. What the fuck is it called? It's like
Dear Zachary.
No. What is it called? Maternal Instinct, maybe.
Oh God, is that the one where the woman like claims to have a baby but didn't?
I think so. Like, yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Anyway, I'll probably get around to it because I'm sick in the head like that. I'm sick. Well,
Fridge just mentioned a podcast to me that would be my pick of the pod that I'm going to start watching. Because I don't necessarily like true crime shows, but like true crime podcasts to me.
Yeah. There's some really good ones.
It's called Chameleon, the Michigan Plot. It's about the FBI agent that infiltrated the Michigan militia who was going to like kidnap the governor.
Mm.
Remember that whole thing? They made like a whole plan to like kidnap the governor of Michigan.
Yeah.
FBI agent like in that brought the whole thing down.
God damn.
Like those people are fucking scary as shit.
Real scary.
Yeah.
Real scary. Oh, you know what next week is actually? I forgot to mention this in the last episode, but we can do it here. Dragons.
Fucking dragons, man.
Them Thrones boys ride again next week. So our first episode next week will be season 3, episode 1 of House of the Dragon with me, Davey, and Shime. And then we'll do Widow's Bay. So you can catch up by Widow's Bay by next Monday.
To quote Jack Black in the song, The History of Tenacious D.
Yeah.
If you say that we do not ride, I'll tan your fucking hide.
Ride. Great point. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the whole thing. Apparently, there was a review. I don't like to read any reviews before I see it. But this was the phrase used for season 3, House of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. It's a timeless phrase. All gas, no brakes.
I was going to say, like, hold on to your nips.
Yeah.
Hold on. Tape them down.
Tape them down. Whatever you need to do.
Tape them down.
Get extra tape. You're going to need them.
It better be, because there were some snores last season.
Yeah, they took a little snooze. A few episodes took a little bit of a little sleep time.
Get it. Damon's in the goddamn castle. We get...
Damon's in Luigi's mansion. We need to get him doing something else.
There's a lot of dripping. A lot of water dripping from the ceiling. Let's go. Yeah.
Oh, actually, Josh reminded me. Josh in the chat had a good email this week about the Practically Compass Award, which we're trying to figure out what that could be.
It's something we just have to give an award to. We just don't know why or what.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Like, I feel like this thing deserves an award, but like,
yeah, not sure. I don't know why. Yeah, that's true. At the end, like, it needs to be for some reason represented in the year. It didn't win any other dorkies, but we're gonna hand one out.
We need to mention practically compassed. It's practically compassed. Yeah.
Josh also said that Rick and Morty is actually still good. So okay. He made the case for Rick and Morty. Right. All right, well, thanks everybody for listening to the Dork Podcast and enjoying the Dork Podcast as much as you do. You can tell a friend about it. You can tell a fellow dork about it. Just scream it. Just run into a coffee shop and scream about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you listening to the Dork Podcast?
What the fuck is wrong with you? And then when you get arrested, tell the cops too.
Yeah. But okay, at least on the way to the station, can you guys put on the Dork Podcast? It's free. It's free to listen to.
It costs nothing.
Nope. You can watch it on YouTube as well. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Dork Podcast, where we have like viral tweets sometimes. So next just week, them Thrones boys, wrestlers. Yeah. It's mostly just us and the Hardy Boys. Hardy Boys and the Party Boys. Just teaming up. Right. Fatal 4-way with the parties and the Hardys.
That's right.
I was like, we had the Party Crasher. We had the Party Favor, Party Foul.
Party Crasher was basically just a 3D. It was the Dudley Boys.
Favorite. Yeah, it was that.
The party favor
you couldn't actually do in the game.
But we've done it to actual people in real life, which was a figure 4 camel clutch combo.
No, Boston Crab.
Boston Crab camel clutch, where you were in charge of the Boston Crab and I was camel. So basically we were just trying to bend one of our peers in half.
Snap somebody from the pelvis up.
That's right.
Yeah.
We actually did it on a person before and they were not pleased.
It was a little R&R. Ramming and rimming. About the other R&R,
never gets old.
Rimming.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry. I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
MacGruber, he has a drink or two each night, but it doesn't affect his job. MacGruber, the guy's a social drinker. MacGruber!
Oh, excellent. All right. Davey, stay hard, stay curious.
The Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.